A few weeks ago, as we were getting started, I said we can all relate to Peter on some level. This is a disciple that if you look at his life and you study it or you look back through the Gospels and you see Peter's actions, there's so many times where you're like, oh, I can relate to that. I would so have done that, you know, and we see some of his mistakes. And today we're going to look at one of his huge mistakes, and I would even go beyond mistake and call it a failure. He failed. He messed up. And not just once, but three times, we're going to see that he denies that he even knows who Jesus is. And so as we look at this passage today, I want us to back up a little bit, and I want us to look and say, what is it that led to Peter's failure? Were there some things taking place? Were there some actions that were going on in his life that maybe led up to this failure? And then we're not going to just end on that because, well, that's just not a real encouraging sermon if we just end on someone's failure. But we're going to see that Peter rises above his failure. Even after he blows it, he rises above it, and he's restored. And we're going to see how he responded to his failure. And so we're going to see four things in Peter's life that led up to his failure, and then we're going to see four things real quickly that led to his success after that. But let me pray for us first. Lord, we thank you for this time where we can get into your word. Lord, we thank you for this gospel of Luke that we've been studying through for some time, and we can look at your life, and we can know, Lord, that you care about us. As that kind of that theme verse in there is, as the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And we know many of us, that's our testimony, that you came and you sought us and you found us and you saved our life, Lord. Saved us out of destruction, put our feet on solid ground, and we thank you for that, God. And so, Lord, I pray as we look at this passage today, as we see this failure of Peter's, Lord, and we can all relate, and there's many of us that will be even thinking about failures that we've had or maybe a failure that we're in right now. But God, I pray you help us to see how he came through that, how he rose above that. And Lord, may we too come through our failures, and may we too rise above them. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, as we look at Peter's failure, as I said, we can all relate on some level. We all make some mistakes, some bigger than others, some are more costly than others, but we've all made mistakes, right? I remember when I was in college, I had right after high school, I got a 62 MG Midget. And the car alone wasn't the mistake, all right? The mistake was that the clutch went out and I thought I could fix it. And that's a unibody frame, which means everything has to come out the front. So I had to take the engine out first, and then the transmission comes out, and then you can get into the clutch and all that. And so my neighbor had a barn, and I went over there, and I'm really good at taking things apart. I really am. I can destroy things really good. And so I started just piece by piece taking this engine apart. I had little sticky notes. I would put them on it, you know, where this goes. I was numbering it all. I was setting it out on a table. Some of you are shaking your heads. Maybe you've done that. And I thought for sure I would be able to get this thing back together. And things were going pretty good until my neighbor came over and sat on the edge of the table and literally flipped the whole table, and everything was on the ground. It was a complete failure. I had to get my brother from Tennessee to come all the way to South Carolina to help me put this thing back together again, and we actually got it back together, and we took all the extra parts that we had left over, and we put them in a Ziploc bag, and we put them in the trunk, and to this day, those pieces are probably still there in the trunk. We've all had failures. As a young youth pastor, I remember taking my boys on a camping trip, just a few guys, and we went on this camping trip up into the North Carolina mountains, the Pisgah National Forest, and thought it was going to be a beautiful weekend. Ended up raining the entire time. And so the last night, I said, look, guys, we're soaked. Everything's wet. This is not fun. Let's just go get a hotel. We won't tell anybody, right? We won't tell them that we wimped out. We're just going to go get a hotel, and we'll camp but we'll do it in the hotel room. You know, it just makes sense to me. And so that seemed like a really good plan. But the problem was one of the mothers back in South Carolina had seen on the news that some church group had been camping and gone canoeing, and their canoes had gotten swept down because of all the rain, and a couple of kids were missing, and others were injured. And she just thought, well, I better check on our group and make sure it's not them. And so she calls the campground and has the camp ranger go look for us, and of course, we're not there. And in my, you know, packing up real quickly, we forgot to sign out of the campground, and so we're missing. And so she files like a missing persons report for all of us. You know, they're looking for this church group that's apparently got swept down the river. And so the next day when we showed up in South Carolina and with our sworn, don't tell anybody we stayed in a hotel last night, well, that ended really quickly. That was a huge failure on my part. And now you know why I'm not a youth pastor anymore today. But we all fail. We make mistakes. And the question is, what do we do after those mistakes? How do we respond to those mistakes? Thomas Edison, probably the greatest inventor of all times, held over 1,000 patents for things that he had created. Created things like the light bulb, motion pictures, peanut butter. Didn't he do that? No? Anyway, out of 1,000, I got 2 of them, so that's pretty good. But I remember seeing one time as he created the light bulb, he failed nearly 10,000 times. But when he is asked about that, he said, no, I didn't fail at all. I learned how not to do it. I learned what wouldn't work, but he never failed. And so sometimes it's all about our attitude to the failure, or our attitude and how we respond after that failure. And so that's what we're going to see as we look at Peter, is that his failure was by no means the end of his story. See, oftentimes we think that if you mess up, if you make a mistake, that's it. That's the end. But we're going to see that's not the case with Peter. And so we'll see what led up to his failure, and then we're going to see how he responded to that failure. The first thing that led up to his failure, we actually looked at this a couple of weeks ago, was his self-confidence. He was confident in just himself. Remember there in that upper room when Jesus said that you're all going to fall away from me. In Matthew chapter 26, he said, you're all, speaking to all of his disciples, going to fall away. And then Peter says, Lord, although the rest of these men will forsake you, I will not. And in the account in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, he even goes on to say in verse 33, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and even to death. He's saying, you can count on me that I would never fall away from you. I would never leave you. I would never deny you, Lord. But his confidence and his certainty is in himself. And this is the beginning of Peter's problem, is that he has a self-confidence. He thought he was strong enough. He thought that there was no way that he could ever do that. Denying Christ is the last thing Peter thought he would ever do. Now let me ask you, church, what's the last thing you say I would ever do? Oh, I could never do that. I would never do that. I'm confident. I'm sure. Well, that's where Peter was, in his self-confidence, saying, I could never. I would never. I'm strong enough. But his confidence was in himself. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. You know, sometimes our greatest vulnerability is in our areas where we think we're the strongest. And the reason that is because we have a tendency to guard the areas where we know we're weak, right? Those weaknesses that we have in our life, man, we're guarding and we're careful and we make sure that nothing happens there. And as we do that, we relax in some of our strengths. Some of those areas where we think we're the strongest, we begin to relax. And then we find those unguarded strengths suddenly become our weaknesses. How many times have you heard someone say, I never saw it coming? I never thought that I could fall to that. I can't believe that I did that. Because their unguarded strength became their greatest weakness. You look at Abraham throughout the Bible, and what you see with Abraham is he was known as a man of great faith, was he not? I mean, here's a guy that is, you know, even in the New Testament, spoke about because of his great faith. But yet, when you look at Abraham, some of the areas where he failed was in regards to his faith. When he began to rely on his own strength, when he began to rely on his own wisdom. You look at Samson in the Old Testament, had incredible strength given to him from God, but when he failed, it was because he had confidence in himself. That he looked at his strength and thought, I'm strong enough. I can do this. I heard a guy one time say, he was speaking of people in ministry, and he said, I feel sorry for people who are naturally gifted because they can rely so easily on their gifting instead of on the Lord. And we can do that. Where we think we're strong enough, where we have the strength, where we can rely on ourselves. This is no big deal that I can handle this. I can do this. And we rely on ourselves. Church, I want to have the same attitude that David had. When David faced Goliath, he didn't have that attitude that said, I got this. Watch this. This is going to be awesome. Here we go. No, he didn't rely on himself. He didn't rely on Saul's armor. Saul tried to give him his own armor, and he said, no, I'm going to rely on the Lord. And he put his confidence in God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, he said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. He didn't take credit for that victory. He knew where that victory had come from. And his confidence wasn't in himself, but it was in the Lord. That's the attitude that I want to have. Not confidence in myself, but confident in the God who dwells within me. The second thing we see in Peter's life that led to this failure, we see it in verse 46. There's a couple places we see it, but verse 46 says, Jesus responding to his disciples, Peter being one of them, and says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The second thing we see in Peter's life that led to up to this failure was prayerlessness. And I don't think that's really a word, but we're going to say it. Prayerlessness. As he wasn't praying, three times Jesus told him to pray, to get up, to pray. But he lacked the ability to do it, or he didn't do it. And he continued to sleep. And you know, truthfully, prayerlessness is a pretty common result of self-confidence. Because when we're confident in ourselves, we think, why do I need to pray? Why would I need to take this to the Lord? Why would I need to ask God his opinion on this? Because I'm confident in myself. And so we lack the prayer. We think we can handle this situation. In Joshua chapter 9, Joshua has been instructed to go into the promised land and to drive out the wicked, evil people that were living there in the promised land. And so as he's doing that, it's destroying nations and driving the people out of the promised land. He comes to a situation where these guys show up there in their camp. And you may remember this story. They're actually Gibeonites, but they're telling them that they're from a foreign land. They're from somewhere way far away, and they have their old sandals. They have their old clothes. They've got their moldy bread and their old wineskins, and they convince Joshua that they're not a neighboring country that's supposed to be driven out, but that they're actually from far away. And they trick Joshua into making a peace agreement with them. And Joshua has to honor that peace agreement. But in that decision that Joshua makes, we see in Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, it says, he did not ask the counsel of the Lord. That he made a huge mistake. Why? Because he didn't pray. Because he didn't seek God's wisdom. He didn't seek the Lord. And I wonder how many of us can say, been there, done that. Where I've made a huge mistake. Where I failed because of my lack to take it to the Lord in prayer. when really we need to have the attitude that Moses had. We see Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, where he says, "Lead me, God, lead me." He's basically saying, I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to go to the right. I'm not going to move from this spot until I know directly and clearly, Lord, what you're saying to me. Speak to me, Lord, so that I know what to do. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my ability to make the right decision in this. Lord, lead me. Rob Slovato, a Calvary Chapel pastor out in California, says, your prayer life will determine if you are God-dependent or self-dependent. Meaning if you have a prayer life, if you actually go to the Lord in prayer, then you're going to learn to start relying on God in areas of your life. But if there's a lack of prayer, then who can you rely on other than yourself? So here's something I almost hesitate to say because it brings such conviction. And I wrestled with this even this past week in my own life, and that's this, that prayerlessness is sin. It's wrong. Because throughout Scripture, we're told to take things to the Lord in prayer. And so when I say to not pray is sin, I'm basing that on James chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, to him who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And in Scripture, we're told not to worry, but to pray. But how often do we decide not to pray, but to worry? We're told in Scripture to pray and not grow weary. But how often do we grow weary and we not pray? We're told to pray so that we don't fall into temptations. But how often do we fall into temptation because we haven't prayed? And so prayerlessness is sin. And it was the next step that led Peter to this failure. And I wonder, church, if it might be leading you to your next failure. And so we need to be people of prayer. The third thing that we see that led to Peter's failure is in verse 50. And it said, and one of them, he struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. We saw that story last week as we were looking through this briefly, as the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and Peter strikes out at him, probably striking the weakest person there as he goes after Malchus, the servant of the high priest there, probably even an unarmed man. But what we see, and this is what led to the third thing that led up to Peter's failure, is he reacted instead of responded. That here he is reacting in his flesh instead of responding to the Spirit. You remember last week we were talking about this because he wasn't praying. Remember, he's sleeping instead of praying as Jesus had told him to do. And so as he wakes up from that, not his finest moment, right? He reacts and his spirit is not in harmony with the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus, who had just surrendered to the Father's will, just surrendered to what's about to take place, this arrest, this trial, even his death, and Peter's not in harmony with that because he hadn't been praying. And so because he's not in harmony with that and doesn't know what's going on, he just reacts in his flesh instead of responding in the harmony of the Spirit. Instead of reacting in the flesh, I want us to be people who are responding in the Spirit. There's a big difference there. You know, when we react, reacting is spontaneous. It's immediate. It's often without thought. Am I right? I know when my kids are arguing and fighting in the back seat of my car, I typically don't respond. I react. And my react looks something like this blind waving of the arm trying to make contact. Some of you have done that, right? This is going to work. I'm just reacting to what's happening. But how much better would it be if I responded in the Spirit to what's taking place? Man, that just goes on so many levels in parenting, doesn't it? How so often we react, and that's in our flesh, instead of responding in the harmony of the Spirit. And that's what we see Peter do here. He reacts. I guess he thinks, I'm going to help Jesus by chopping everybody's ears off here today. That's going to take care of this situation. And so he reacted instead of responding. The last thing we see leading up to Peter's failure, we see in verse 54. After they have arrested Jesus there in the garden, it says, then seizing him, they led him away, and they took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. That's the last thing that led up to his failure, was he was following at a distance. You know, in my 19 years in ministry, back in 1996, I got a job as a youth pastor, would have expected that almost 20 years later would still be in ministry, and especially after some of the failures I had or the mistakes that I made, not no moral failures or anything like that. But after 19 years in ministry, I've never once had a student or had an adult or had a person just come to me and say, in just one day, I've decided that I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Never once, not in almost 20 years. But you know, in those same 19 years, I'm sad to say, I've seen a lot of people walk away from the Lord. A lot of students who went away to college, never to return to the Lord or to church. Adults that just got to a place in life, maybe they suffered through a difficulty, a loss, or maybe a divorce, and just walked away from God and walked away from the church. And as I look at all those situations, almost every single one of them, the greatest reason for why they walked away from the Lord was for this reason right here, because they were following at a distance. And little by little, as time went by, they fell farther and farther away and let more and more come between them and God because they were following at a distance. And in a room of this many people, there's people here that can relate to that. If you had to kind of chart where you are in your journey with Christ, and here's Christ, and here's God, and where are you in that, and we all would love to put ourselves right here. Man, I'm just following so closely, but so many of us would probably have to put ourselves back a little way. Say, I'm following, but at a distance. And that's one of the things that led to Peter's failure. That there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 that says, we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Why? So that we will not drift away. That we need to put a more earnest heed to these things that we're listening to, the things that we read in here, so that we will not drift away. That word drift away, when I think of drifting, I think of a boat drifting further and further away from shore. I know that when I first moved here and I was determined to learn how to surf, which didn't go too well, I went out there on my surfboard, and I would go when nobody else was surfing because I'm going to master this thing, and then I'm going to go out there and amaze everyone, all of my friends, right? And so I was out there in the wee hours of the morning. I was out there in the low tide, just like terrible times, but I'm trying to do it. And one morning I was out there, and I parked my car, and I went out, and I was attempting to surf for a while. And after a while, I don't know if I gave up or if I just almost drowned and decided that was enough. And I came in, and I was walking back to my car, and then I realized I must have parked the other direction. You ever do that where you walk down the beach a little ways and you think, oh, this isn't right? And so then I walk, it must have been at least a quarter of a mile, half a mile back the other direction on the beach. And then I don't see my car that way. And I start thinking, did somebody steal my car? And so I'm trying to figure out what happened. And what had happened was I wasn't walking far enough. I thought, surely I didn't drift that far. But that's what had happened, is as I was out there, I had lost my focus, I wasn't paying attention, and the next thing I know, I had drifted almost half of the way across the Hako Beach, and to where I didn't even know where I was. I was disoriented, and I can't tell you how many people I've met like that in life, who thought they knew where they were. They thought that they were following close enough, but then as they went out, they drifted further and further and further away until now they find themselves in this place where they're disoriented, they're lost, and they have no clue where they are in life. They don't even recognize what used to be so familiar to them. These are the four things that we see that kind of led up to Peter's failure. He was self-confident, prayerless, reacting in the flesh, and following at a distance. That's what leads us up here to verse 55. Verse 55 through 60, if you have your Bible, follow along with me. It says, "But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with them, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed." This was Peter's failure that he had made for himself. And actually, if you wanted to add a fifth, you could even look at that word there where he's sitting by the fire. He's sitting in the enemy's camp, if you will. He's comforted himself there in the enemy's camp. Because Psalm chapter 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. And that's where Peter is. As he's following at a distance, he finds himself all of a sudden sitting in the enemy's camp, enjoying the comforts with the firelight there of the enemy. And so he blows it. He denies Christ. He denies that he even knows who Jesus was, a man who he had followed for 3 years, who he had learned so much from, he had gained so much in life, that he respected on so many levels, a man who just a few hours earlier said, "You're going to deny me." And he said, I would never. And here he is denying Christ, not just once, not twice, but three times, and one of those being to a little servant girl. I mean, it's one thing if it's like a soldier who's holding a sword at your throat and he's about to like haul you off, or he's about to arrest you or kill you. But a little servant girl, and he denies Christ. But here's the good news, is that his failure doesn't mark the end of the story. No, if we know anything about Peter, he goes on to do some pretty amazing things. See, in our life and in our world, failure so often marks the end of the story. I was watching some college games yesterday. College football is on. We're in week 3, and they're starting to pull the plug on some players at this point. They gave them the first week, the second week, but now all of a sudden, if you don't perform and you don't get it done, it's considered a failure, and you're going to the bench. And so I'm watching that happen yesterday as Ohio State's quarterback sent to the bench. We're going with the replacement. Other guys, it won't be in another week or two, we're going to see some coaches probably that start getting the boot because of their failure, as it's seen. In the business world, if a CEO or your boss is failing to move the company forward, then what happens? They got to go. That's the end of the story with them. But God has a way of taking our failures and turning them around. And you look at this failure of Peter's, denying Christ, and I cannot think of a worse thing that he could have done. I mean, think about that. Here's a guy in ministry, pursuing ministry, and he denies that he even knows Jesus. Could have been the end of the story. That could have been it. We saw Judas make a huge mistake, right? He betrays Jesus and brings the soldiers, and they arrest Jesus. And what does Judas do? That's the end of the story for him. He goes out from there after that failure and he takes his own life. And that's what could have happened here with Peter. Could have been the end of the story. Could have been all that was written. But Jesus has a way of helping us rise above our failures. We see Peter, if we look at Peter's life, you look at Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, and this is only like 40-some days later, after this event of denying Christ, 40 days later, a little over a month later, and Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and boldly proclaims the name of Christ, and 3,000 people are saved. In just the next chapter, it says Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, and a man asks them for or looks at them expecting something from them. This is a lame man. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you in the name of Jesus." The same Jesus who he had denied earlier. He says, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And that man gets up and walk, and they go into the temple. Peter preaches again. Now he's got an audience. That's the way to gather a crowd right there. He's got an audience. He preaches again, and over 2,000 people this time put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's happened to this man? Here's a guy who just a few days earlier was denying Christ, and now here he is with boldness proclaiming the name of Christ. Well, we're going to see what happens to him. We see the four things that take Peter from failure to success. Verse 61, it says, "The Lord turned." This is right after he denied Christ and the rooster crowed. And it said, "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter, and Peter remembered the words that the Lord had spoken to him." How many of you have done something wrong only to realize in the moment that you made that mistake, somebody was watching you? That somebody saw it. It's like you do it, and then you look and you see they're looking, and you're like, oh. How many of your moms ever caught you like that? Moms see everything, don't they? And then what happens? You get the look. Oh, we all know the look. When mom sees you doing something you shouldn't have done, we get the look. And when we read this passage, we almost immediately go to that place in our head where we feel like that's probably what's happening here is Peter's getting the look. You know, that scornful, like, oh yeah, busted. I told you so. That look. But if you look at the Greek word that's used there, blepo, I think it is, B-L-E-P-O, it typically refers to a look or to look at someone with interest or to look at someone with concern or even to look at someone with love. Can you imagine? He's just failed huge. And he looks over and he makes eye contact with Jesus, who's being beaten and whipped and cursed at. And he makes eye contact with him, and Jesus looks at him with a look of compassion. I think that's the first thing that began to set Peter's feet on a place where he could succeed, was he knew that God still loved him. What an amazing thought, isn't it? That even in our failure, even in our biggest mistakes, God still loves us. Why? Because he loves us unconditionally. Not based on our actions, but because he loves us. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love." Scripture tells us it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. His love and his kindness. That was the first thing that Peter experienced. The second one we see in verse 62. And it says, "And he went outside and he wept bitterly." There's a brokenness. There is a repentance that takes place in Peter's life. He realized that he couldn't rely on himself anymore. A person that had had some self-confidence, that had relied on himself at times, who said, "Oh no, I would never do that." And all of a sudden he realizes he did do it. And he responds with brokenness and repentance. He's sorrowful, and his sorrow brings him to repentance. You know, oftentimes we respond that same way. We do something we shouldn't have done and we're sorry for it, but our sorrow doesn't always lead us to repentance, does it? Sometimes our sorrow leads us to an even deeper place of sorrow. Sometimes our sorrow leads us to a place where we think we're unworthy, where God would never forgive us. God could never love us again. But Peter's sorrow, and we know this because we see how he was restored, brought him to a place of repentance. And then we see the third thing. And really, you just have to look to other gospels. You have to look at like Mark chapter 16. When we see Jesus is resurrected and he tells the ladies, he tells Mary and Martha that, or he asks for him, he says, go and tell the disciples and Peter that the Lord is risen. And then we see that he even pursues Peter on a personal basis, really just to specifically minister forgiveness to him. We know that Peter received that forgiveness. And so he realized God still loved him. There was a brokenness that took place in his life. There was a repentance which brought about forgiveness. And then the last thing, and we see this in Acts chapter 2, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. A man who had lived some of his life full of himself, and what had that brought him? Failure. And now all of a sudden he's full of the Holy Spirit, and what does that bring him? A boldness, a courage to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is the disciple or the apostle that took the gospel to the Gentile, and I guess most of us would be very thankful of that. Full of himself, he failed, but full of the Holy Spirit, he went on to do great things. Well, church, that's my challenge to you this morning is in your mistakes and in your failures, which you're going to make, which you might be making right now, or you might have made in the past and you might still be wallowing in them. In those things, know that God still loves you. Let his love and let the things that you've done bring a brokenness into your life, a place where you're repentant for what you've done. Receive God's forgiveness. Be full of the Holy Spirit and go on to do great things for him. Don't let your failure be the end of the story. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back out to lead us in a song. And in this last song, I want to just give us an opportunity to respond to that. And I want to tell you, church, I responded to this message this week. The areas in my life as I was reading this and thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, I've got to do better in that. Lord, I need to make some changes there. And I pray as we close this service that you'll be honest like that as well. That you'll allow the Holy Spirit just to move in your hearts right now to a place of just, of doing an honest evaluation. What have I done in my failure? Or maybe are there things that are going on in my life like self-confidence, like prayerlessness, like reacting instead of responding or following at a distance? Are these things all present in my life, or some of these present in my life to where maybe I'm headed towards some destruction or difficulty? And if that's where you are, maybe this morning you would say, I need to get right in those areas and I need to make some changes in those areas. So I invite you to stand as we close this time this morning with a time of response and a time of prayer. And there'll be some people here that would love to pray for you. If the Lord leads you to pray with someone, then do that. Or just stay right where you're at and just lift these things up to the Lord. So let's close in a time of worship and a time of prayer.